20th January 1992. We will continue Dhamma talk about overcoming worry, sorrow, one of the benefits of mindfulness meditation. Where did we stop in our previous talk? Story. What kind of story? About yes, the devas, the deities who has lost 500 wives, a great deal of wives. A great burden he had to shoulder. Then where did he go? To the Buddha for what? To ask for advice which may help her to quench the great fire of desire or attachment and worry and sorrow. Then he asked the Buddha, the Venerable Sir, I am extremely stricken with the grief, worry and sorrow. Because the 500 of my thousand female deities has died and now were suffering in the great hell. So I'm worried about, I'm sorry for these deities because I loved them. Yes, if he does not love them, he need not worry about them. He need not sorry for that. You know through your experience. Through your experience. then also, when I see my lifespan, I know that I'll have to die in a week's time and suffer in the hell, the same hell as those deity, female deities suffer. So I'm worried about it. I'm stricken with very great grief and suffering. Please help me to get rid of this suffering. Then the Buddha said, Nanyatra bhojya tapasa, Nanyate indriya samvara, Nanyatra sapanisaka, Sute pasami panina. The Buddha advised him with this stanza, which consists of 32 syllables. I think I need not explain you about this stanza because you have already understood it. You do not understand? Nanyatra bhojya tapasa, nanyate indriya samvara, nanyatra sabbanisaka, sutte impa sappasa mipanina. Pali. the scriptures. Nanyadra bodhya tapasa. Without development of the seven factors of an enlightened one, and without observing the moral conduct or precept, nanyata indriya samvara, without closing the six doors of sense-basis, nanyatra savanesaka, without attainment of a nibbana which abandons all mental defilement, none of nobody can attain the eternal peace. You follow? Very clear. I'll repeat it again. Without development of the seven factors of the enlightened one, without observing moral conduct or precepts, without closing of the six sense doors of six sense spaces, without attainment of Nibbana, which totally abandons all the mental defilements, no one can attain to eternal peace and happiness. Do you agree with the Buddha? You remember? What are they without? Without development of seven factors of the enlightened one. Just one by. Without observing morality, or without observing the precepts to purify morality, without closing of the six sense doors, without attainment of Nibbana, which totally abandons all mental defilement, nobody can attain eternal peace and happiness. Do you agree with Buddha? Huh? What are the points that the Buddha advised to this deity? The first one? Which he totally abandons all mental defilements. Then nobody can attain to eternal peace and happiness. That's what the Buddha advised this deity. His name is Subhyama. Then here, even though these points of advices are described briefly in the Pali text, actually the Buddha explained these points so that the Subhyama can understand and practice. I think we I need not explain you these points of advices because you have already grasped the meaning of these points. Need I explain you? No. No need. Then what are the seven factors of enlightened ones? How can you develop these seven factors of the enlightened one? It's also translated as, in some cases, seven factors of enlightenment. Actually, seven factors of enlightened one is better than the translation, in accordance with the scriptures. Then, do you know how to develop these seven factors of enlightened ones? No. Then, do you know how to observe the precepts so that you can purify your morality? You know? What kind of a precept have you observed? You are observing? Yes. Abstention from killing, Stealing, not stealing, taking what's not given. Abstention from incelibacy. And then abstention from false speech. Then abstention from intoxicants, any kind of intoxicants. Then abstention from taking substantial food after midday. Then abstention from any kind of entertainment and any kind of adoration which beautifies one's person. And then abstention from using high beds and luxurious beds. Do you use the high beds? There may be double beds in your room. The highest bed should be 18 inches, but some of your beds are not not 18 inches. Like that? I don't think so. There may be about 3 or 4 feet high beds, upper beds, when you call it double bed. Yes. When you observe fully these precepts, you are hopeful to have deconcentration because you do not feel guilty conscious about your deed and speech. Because your deed and speech is purified by means of observing the 8 precepts. Then another one, without closing the 6 doors, without closing of the 6 sense doors. Do you know how to close your 6 sense doors? You know? When the you can close your doors. Could you close? How do you close it? Mindfulness and noting of what? Seeing, hearing. Yes. Now then, mindful of what is seen, what is heard, what is smelled, what is tasted, what is touched, and what is thought about. Then your sense doors has been closed. None of the mental defilements can come into the mind because the closed six doors are closed. Now you know how to close the doors. But some of the meditators doesn't know how to do close the door without making noise. Without making noise. And when they get into the hall and leave the hall, they close the door making great noise, which is very much helpful to the concentration of the other meditators. Yes, there are seven factors of the enlightened ones, the enlightenment. The first is Siddhi Sambhajanga. The second is Viriya Sambhajanga. The second is Dhamma Vijaya Sambhajanga. The third is Viriya Sambhajanga. The fourth is Samadhi Piti Sambhajanga. The fifth is Samadhi Sambhajanga. The sixth is Piti Sambhajanga. The seventh is Upakara Sambhajanga. You don't know because even you haven't heard of these words. Yes. Bhajanga is one of the 37 members of enlightenment. These are seven Bhajanga. Bhajanga is translated into factors of the enlightenment or factors of the enlightened one. Unless these factors are developed, you cannot be enlightened or you cannot attain any path knowledge or fruition knowledge, which is known as enlightenment. The first factors of an enlightened one is Siddhi Sambhajanga. It means Siddhi, mindfulness. Mindfulness is one of the seven factors of an enlightened one. If you are mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs, then you are developing, cultivating the mindfulness, the first factors of enlightenment or enlightened one. That's the mindfulness, Siddhi. Then the second one is Dhamma Vijaya Sambhajanga. Dhamma means here Dhamma. Do you clearly understand? Here Dhamma means Dhamma. You know, Dhamma means Dhamma. Here means mental and physical phenomena and also Nibbana are known as Dhamma. So, Vidya means investigation. It means this benefactor of enlightenment investigates the Dhamma so that it can realize it and its true nature. Actually, this factor doesn't try to analyze it, to think about it, to intellectualize it. What is done is when the mindfulness becomes sharp and concentration becomes deep, this factor, that's the insight knowledge that rises together with the concentration, penetrates into the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena, which is observed, which are observed. Then it realizes the impermanent suffering, no soul, no self nature of mental and physical phenomena which are observed. It means that this factor investigates the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. It doesn't need any ability to try to investigate the Dhamma, but it has already ability to penetrate into the Dhamma and know, realizes the three aspects of existence: anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, impersonal nature or no soul, no self. So this insight is called the factors of enlightenment, the enlightened one. That is Dhamma Vijayata Vijaya Sambojanga. Then the third one is Viriya, the effort. The steady and balanced effort is also one of the seven factors of the enlightened one. When you have a steady effort and balanced effort in your practice, you are sure to be mindful of every mental and physical phenomena which are arising at the moment. So that effort is also one of the seven factors of the enlightened one. It's called Viriya Sambojanga. Then another one is Piti Sambojanga. Piti, you know what does Piti means. What's the meaning of a PT? This is Pali, you know that. Rapture. That's the ecstatic light, delight, which is very tender, very tenderly infiltrating or diffusing. Rapture. When you feel rapture on any part of your body while your concentration is good enough, you need not put the conscious effort into your practice, because the effort becomes steady and balanced by itself, so the concentration becomes deep. Then you feel calm, serene and tranquil. So you feel the rapture, the very pleasant sensation, tender sensation of ecstatic delight. The whole body is suffused with the very tender feeling of the ecstasy or delight. Sometimes you feel a goose pimple. Could I use this word? Goose pimples. Goose pump. There's also another word, a goose flesh. Which one's better? Goose pump is better. Yes, when you feel goosebumps, what did you have extraordinary? What did you unusual experience have? Shaking, trembling, sometimes vibrating. Then the hair of the body erects on its end. The hair of the body stands on end. Then, in that state of feeling sensation is called rapture. That's also one of the factors or seven factors of enlightened one. Have you had this experience? You have? Yes. Be careful. Be careful. This is a very good enemy of a yogi. Very good enemy of meditators. It's a good, but it's an enemy. Why? Yes, yogis tend to be attached to this rapture when he has it. When the concentration is very good and the efforts become steady and balanced, then you can easily concentrate on any object of meditation. You need not find out the object. You need not make any effort to be mindful of. The objects get ready to be observed, to be mindful of by themselves. So the mind notes it very easily and comfortably. Then the concentration becomes good, deep. You feel calm, tranquil, serene. Then you feel that sensation of a rapture and the ecstatic delight. This rapture piti is classified into five in the commentary. One of the piti, which is very powerful and strong, makes the meditator jump in the air from the seat. Have you experienced this one? Yes, I'm trying to experience it. It's called Obega Piti. Obega Piti means the rapture. Lifts the body of meditators up in the sky. Very good. Some of the meditator feel in this state of feeling of rapture, as if he is lifted to something by something about, say, 4 inches above the seat, or 6 inches above the seat, sometimes about 1 feet above the seat. In Burma, sometimes meditator has to sit for meditation in mosquito net, inside mosquito net, because there are mosquitoes in Burma, not very many, not like flies in the Australia. Now one of the flies that flying around me. Yes. So when meditators sit meditating inside the mosquito net, sometimes their body is lifted up until his hand touches the roof of the mosquito net by means of this rapture. Then some of meditators are shocked at this experience because he hasn't experienced before. Surprising. This is called Obhega Piti. And the commentary, there are about two or three stories about this Obhega Piti, the rapture which lifted the meditator up in the sky. But I don't want to tell you this story. Why? Because the present story has not finished. Now the Buddha explaining the seven factors of the enlightened one. To whom? To the deity, Subhyama. Then this is a piti, the rapture of the rapture, one of the seven factors of the enlightened one. Then another one is pi pasaddhi sambhajanga. Pasaddhi here means tranquility. Tranquility. Tranquility also the seven benefits, one of the seven factors of an enlightened one. When you feel rapture, the rapture is preceded by tranquility. Tranquility is preceded by concentration. When your mind is easily concentrated on the object of meditation, then you need not make any effort in the noting to concentrate the mind on the object of meditation. So the mind becomes tranquil, serene. Only after that rapture comes to you. So this tranquility, pasaddhi, we call it in Pali, pasaddhi. P-A-S-S-A-D-D-H-I, pasaddhi. Do you get? P-A-S-S-A-D-D-H-I, pasaddhi. The meaning is a tranquility. It's also one of the seven factors of enlightenment. Then another one is a samadhi. You know that. Do you know samadhi? What's that? Concentration. The concentration also one of the seven benefactors of the enlightenment, or enlightened one. I need not explain it because you have experienced it to a certain extent. Sometimes you have this experience, this concentrated mind, continuously about 10 minutes or 20 minutes now, I think so. Then,
The last one is Upekkha Sambhajanga. Upekkha here means equanimity. Equanimity. When you have attained rapture, and then you observe it. Rapture, piti. When you observe the piti becomes calm and balanced. Then you are not attached to the piti because you do not accept it as a pleasant sensation because you are mindful of it. Then, in that case, your mind doesn't go up. The concentration also neither deep nor superficial. The efforts become well balanced and steady. So in this state of a meditated experience, you feel neither happy nor unhappy. You are in the middle of happiness and unhappiness. That state of a meditative experience is called equanimity. This equanimity also the factors of one of the seven factors of enlightenment. It's called Upekkha Sambhajanga. Then we can say Sati, Dhamma Vijaya, Viriya, Piti, Pasadi, Samadhi, Upekkha. There are seven factors of enlightenment. Now that I explained you the meaning of these seven factors, then you know how to develop these seven factors in you. You know? Huh? How? How can you develop? Mindfulness. Mindfulness is an all-inclusive mentality, all-inclusive Dhamma. So, if you are mindful of any mental or physical process without a break, to have a sharp, powerful and constant mindfulness, then the concentration becomes deeper and deeper. Then the insight arises based on the deep concentration. Then that insight realizes mental and physical phenomena which are observed at that moment. Then you can attain all of these seven factors of enlightenment or some of enlightenment. Yes, at the earlier stage of the fourth insight knowledge, at the earlier part of the fourth stage of enlightenment, you can feel especially these, you can have these seven factors, viriya, piti, samadhi, pasadi and upekkha. But as I explained to you should be careful of these good enemies when you have experience. Why? Because you are clinging to it. You tend to be clinging to these experiences and then you can't go upper stages of insight knowledge. You stop here. Very good. You are content with them. Sometimes some of the meditators take these good enemies to be Nibbana, which is a peaceful and happy. Then they stop their practice because they have attained what they want to achieve. Actually, they have reached the fourth stage of enlightenment. there are 13 stages of enlightenment to go through. Out of the 13, they have attained only 4. Then one third. Is it right? Only one third of the enlightenment, the inside stages they have attained, but they think they have Nibbana. Why? Because of the good and me. This is called corruptions. This is good and me corrupt your vipassana insight meditative experience, because when you are attached to these good experiences and you are content with them, your meditative experience vipassana stops here. You can't go higher stages for insight. One of our meditator about, I think, 2 weeks back, he feel concentrated very easily and also feel tranquil and serene, peaceful. Sometimes he doesn't know anything. He is not aware of himself and his bodily form, but he feel happy and peaceful, serene. Then, when he came for interview, then he said, "I have experienced this and this, very good. So it's enough for me. I'm going home back." He said. Now he is here, present, continuing his practice. Because I explained him, this is just the beginning of good experience. You have to go up. So, now these are good enemies. Then you know, you come to know the 7 factors of enlightenment, which can be cultivated by means of mindfulness meditation. So when the Buddha said, without development of the 7 factors of enlightened one, no one can attain eternal peace and happiness. Is it right? Right? And how can you develop these 7 factors? By being mindful of what is happening to your body and mind as it really occurs. These 7 factors of enlightenment are called also the members of enlightenment. The members of enlightenment. There are 37. Then the Buddha said, without closing of the 6 sense doors, so no one can attain. No one can attain to eternal peace, happiness, that's a deliverance, emancipation, Nibbana. So, when you are willing to attain Nibbana, deliverance, or eternal peace, happiness, then you should close your 6 sense doors. Whenever you see something, observe seeing. Whenever you hear something, you should note hearing. Whenever you smell something, you notice smelling. Whenever you taste something, you notice tasting. Whenever you touch something, note touching. Whenever you think about something, you note thinking. In this way, all these things tools can be closed by means of constant mindfulness. Is it right? Yes. If you fail to be mindful of any consciousness of seeing or hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, and thinking about, could you close your door? No. The enemy, the mental defilement will come very easily. So you have to close these six doors by being mindful of what is seen, what is the heart, what is smelled, what is tasted, what is touched, and what is thought about. Actually, the Buddha used this word, what is seen. When you see something, your mind should stop at what's seen. That means that you should know the seeing, the consciousness of seeing. That's what the Buddha said. If you note, if you are mindful of a consciousness of seeing, then your mind doesn't judge you whether what's seen is good or bad. Then the mind, because the mind cannot judge the object, what is seen as bad or good, so you have no aversion or no desire for it. Then the mind stops at what is seen. This is the benefit of the closing of the doors. That's why the Buddha said, you should close your doors, your six doors, when you are willing to attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. And again the Buddha said, without attainment of Nibbana, which is abundance, all mental defilements, then no one can attain the eternal peace and deep happiness. Here, first of all, the Buddha advised this deity, Subhyama, to cultivate the seven factors of enlightenment by means of mindfulness meditation, and then to close the six doors by means of mindfulness meditation. When you are able to completely closes the six doors, then he won't have any defilement at all, because he has attained the full stage of enlightenment. Then he won't have any of mental defilements. Then he has attained Nibbana, the cessation of suffering or eternal peace and happiness, which abundance mental defilements. After the Buddha has clarified these points of advice to Subhyama, contemplated on these points and also mental and physical process which is arising at the moment, especially worry, sorry, and lamentation, and so on. Then, in a short time, he came to realize the impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of these mental and physical phenomena which are observed at the moment. So he has reached the upper stages for enlightenment one after another, and after the 13 stages for enlightenment has been got through, then he has attained the first path knowledge, Sotapattimagga, Jnana. Then he became noble one, who has attained the first path, the first stage of enlightenment. Then, because the first stage of enlightenment uproots Sakaya Deity and then Vichikesha, the round view, the false view of a personality, individuality, and the skeptical doubt about the triple gems. Then he didn't take his bodily and mental process to be a person, a being, a devata, a deity or not. Then he has no ada. Because he has no idea of a personality and individuality, he hasn't also no wives, no female deities. Because there is no personal person or being what really exists in the whole world is just mental and physical phenomena which are arising and passing away one after another. If he sees in this way, could he have any wife? No. Could he have did he have any son, daughter, any grand house and divine house? No. Then did he need to feel worry and sorry for the death of his deities? No. In this way, worry and sorry has been uprooted by mindfulness and meditation. This is also one of the benefits of mindfulness and meditation. Then another benefit of meditation is overcoming lamentation. When your relative has died, you lamentate the death of your relatives. You cry over it. You wailing over it. Then when your sons or daughter or parents have died, you lamentate over the death of your parents and sons and daughters. This lamentation has been destroyed or overcome by means of mindfulness and meditation. This is also one of the seven benefits of mindfulness and meditation. Here also the commentary described a woman whose husband, two sons, and two parents, and one brother has died in a day. So she was stricken with great grief, worry, sorry, and lamentation. When he happened to see that she went astray because she has gone mad because of these fires of grief, worry, and sorry, and lamentation. But one day, she went into the Buddha's monastery, Jetavana, by walking as a troll. Then he saw the audience who listened to the discourse expounded by the Buddha. She went to the audience not to listen, but because she saw the gathering. The Buddha saw her. Then the Buddha says, "Sister Padachara, be careful." When she heard very sweet and clear voice of the Buddha, she came round. She got her senses by means of the Buddha's sweet song, a sweet voice. Then she sat down at the edge of the audience and listened to Dhamma. The Buddha aims his discourse at this woman who was stricken with the grief, worry, sorry, and lamentation. Then after the discourse has been delivered, this woman has attained the first path knowledge because he has gone through all 13 stages of enlightenment in a very short time. Then no worry, no sorrow, no lamentation at all. Then he requested the Buddha to ordain her. She requested the Buddha to ordain her a bhikkhuni. The Buddha tell bhikkhuni sangha to ordain him a bhikkhuni. Then she became a bhikkhuni. Then he continued his practice because she has to attain the other higher stages of enlightenment. So diligently, enthusiastically, honestly, he put more and more effort in the practice. Then one night he has attained to the full stage of enlightenment and became Arahant. She was Padachara, who had mastered the rules of a monastic code, the code of a monastic rules. Then she became Arahant, no limitation at all. In this way, mindfulness and meditation can overcome limitation. Then the other benefit is overcoming mental suffering and physical suffering. Mental suffering is called Chetasika Dukkha. Physical suffering is called Kayika Dukkha. So, in the ancient translation, the mental suffering is translated into grief. Physical suffering is translated into pain. The overcoming pain and grief is said. So, mindfulness and meditation can overcome this mental suffering and the physical suffering by being mindful of what is happening at the moment. When you feel, say, unhappiness, depressed, dejected, dejection, mental stress and strain, you observe it. Then it becomes gradually disappeared. You overcome it. Physical pain also can be overcome by being mindful of it. You have experienced this. So in the 11th stage of enlightenment, you have no physical experience at all, because you have overcome it at all. Sometimes some of diseases or illness can be overcome by means of mindfulness meditation. Those are also physical suffering. Then the sixth one is realization of the attainment of path knowledge. The first stage of path knowledge, second, third, and the fourth stage of path knowledge can be attained by means of a mindfulness meditation, like this Subhyama Deva and Padachara and so on. Because you are now on the right path and you have walked this path halfway, so if you continue, proceed with your practice on this path, you are sure to attain any path of path knowledge, the first or the second, the third or the fourth. So you are hopeful, but do not expect, but be mindful of it. If you expect, expectation becomes a hindrance. Then the seventh one is attainment of Nibbana. Time's up. May all of you rightly understand these seven benefits of mindfulness and meditation and strive your best and achieve your goal, the cessation of suffering.